Good morning. I am Celeste Headley. It is Monday morning, and I am joined today by Miles O'Brien, who is filling in for John Hockenberry. Good morning, Miles.
I'm no genius, but I'm happy to be here.
We've all heard about Megan's Law. That was named after the 7-year-old New Jersey girl who was raped and murdered in 1994. And then, of course, there's Jessica's Law. That was named for another girl who suffered the same fate in 2005. And we're wondering how long it will be until there is a Chelsea's Law. A 17-year-old Chelsea King was raped and murdered in San Diego County last month. It's called for tougher laws and more enforcement for sex offenders, and it's also sparked a national debate about how our society deals with this particular kind of criminal. We're joined now by Greer Weeks. He's executive director for PROTECT. It's a national organization lobbying Congress for more to be done when it comes to sex offenders. And Julie Brown is a senior staff writer for the Miami Herald who covers this issue for the Miami area. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Greer, let's start with you. There's already a whole host of laws that were named after girls who have suffered terrible crimes at the hand of sex offenders. Do you feel that we don't have enough laws in place to protect children?
Well, as a lobbyist who works on nothing but child protection legislation, I can promise you these laws were never intended as a serious effort to protect children. It's a cynical business to exploit the death of a kid, but each of these laws you mentioned usually follows the same formula. You need a gimmick that the media will go for. It needs to sound tough, but it actually has to be cheaper than doing something meaningful because you want to get your bill passed. And we see this, cyclically. It's tragic, but the greatest obstacle that PROTECT faces as a pro-child anti-crime lobby is it's not that people are against protecting children, it's that they've been sold snake oil by politicians and cable news and self-appointed child advocates. So these are not typically serious laws at all.
Well, let me ask you, is there a higher rate of recidivism among sex offenders? Are they more likely to leave prison and offend again?
Well, that's usually a question that's asked to academics, and they're all across the spectrum. I think the real question that most of us want to know, need to be asking is this a risk we can afford to take? These are dangerous people. They've proven by their conduct that they're dangerous to children. So, we turn our back on them at our peril. But pushing sex offenders under bridges and this kind of foolishness is not going to make children safer.
Okay, well, Julie Brown, let's turn to you. You cover this for the Miami Herald, and you've actually interviewed a number of sex offenders who are now on the outskirts of society. Let's hear a clip from Michael Duggins. He's the brother of a sex offender.
Each one of these people done their time. They paid they time to society. They done everything. Not trying to justify anything that they did. They all know what they did was wrong in some kind of way. That's why they were sent to prison. But now you got sent to prison, and you've done your time.
So, Julie, it sounds like he's making the argument that there's no reason to treat this crime any differently than any other.
Well, to some degree, that some of them do. But I also think that the issue here is, and it has come up in a couple of other states, that the crime of child offenses has different categories. I've spoken with a number of them who 20 years ago when they were, 18 or 19, they had a girlfriend who was, 14 or 15. And, that was 20 years ago. They were in prison for a great number of years. They come out of prison, they want to start over, and they have this sort of red letter on their record, and they can't get a job. They can't live with their families. They have no support system to try to get to the point where they can go on with their lives. People argue that there has to be some other alternative than to put them. In Miami's case, there was as many as 100 of them that were living under a bridge. This particular rule made it so that they only had to live under the bridge at night. So during the day, they essentially could go out and walk in society. So that certainly wasn't protecting children.
Let me ask you, we actually spoke with Lauren Book Lim. She was abused for 10 years by her nanny before starting the group Lauren's Kids. That's an education and child advocacy group for abused children in Florida.
I know her very well.
Yeah. She spoke to the producers yesterday, and we asked her how she felt about balancing civil rights of the accused pedophiles with the safety of communities and children.
everybody is entitled to be free, be safe, they've served their time. I understand that. But I go back to an example of somebody who is doing drugs or alcohol. They spent their time in prison and they're out, and maybe they're in AA. They go to their meetings, but let's say they have an off day. They backslide. If somebody does drugs, who are they hurting? They're really hurting themselves. If a pedophile has a backslide, they don't go to counseling. They have a trigger that they don't address. Who are they hurting? A 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old. That's just not acceptable to me or anybody who advocates for children.
Julie, what about that argument among people that this is a worse crime?
Well, it is. It's a terrible crime, and certainly for the worst predators. Certain evaluations of these people when they're in prison and before they leave prison. And there's a difference between a sex offender who's just on the internet looking at children and someone who actually goes around attacking children. The argument here is we do not, when a killer, for example, kills a child, we do not put them under bridges. We do not segregate them from society after they pay their time. Or when someone abuses a child in another way, which can be pretty horrific, we don't have these kinds of strong laws for them. That's not to say that we should sympathize more with child molesters, but I think that I think what people are arguing is that there may be a halfway here. There needs to be a balance.
Well, that's Julie Brown, senior staff writer for the Miami Herald. And Greer Weeks, let's go back to you. You're with the National Association to Protect Children, or PROTECT for short. What kind of laws do we need? What will work in terms of strengthening protection of kids?
Well, the most immediate thing here is that if you're going to let these people out who are sexually dangerous to children, then you need to actually keep them under close surveillance and restrictions. You know, putting them on a sex offender registry is somewhat of a fraud because they're not being monitored or restricted, and the way to do that is to keep them serving a court-ordered sentence of probation or parole. But that doesn't sound as good to the media, and it won't get you as much coverage. We also, have got to stop making monsters. You know, a 30-year-old child killer was a child just yesterday. And typically, you can see them coming miles away.
Still human beings.
And we don't invest in that.
Greer Weeks is the executive director for the National Association to Protect Children, or PROTECT for short.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.